The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Welcome again to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Really grateful to have you with us as we continue to walk through the letter to the Hebrews. What a great opportunity this has been for us to see during this time the greatness and the significance of King Jesus. And so I'm really excited for us to look at the start of chapter 2 together. And I think it's valuable, this passage is valuable for us to consider this morning because we've said this a number of times in recent weeks, but we're bombarded with all kinds of news. And so much news, it's impossible, it seems, to keep up. But you add to that not only the difficulty of having so much new information coming at us so quickly all the time, that we can also become distracted by fake news. I mean, we're in this time in our culture where it is vital, it seems, for people to have a hot take, for people to be the first to get the scoop. And oftentimes what can happen is truth is kind of lost in the midst of trying to be first and fastest. But not only that, not only can this unintentionally occur, but there are actually people who are trying to provide misinformation, even hoaxes, if you will, and it's created this culture of fake news, and it leaves us wondering what we can believe, what's true, who's trustworthy. In what account can I look to find true facts about the world in which we find ourselves? And not only is this difficult for us, but it seems like these kind of fake news reports tend to follow ideological trajectories. And so they're coming at us from every vantage point, from every political sphere, and it creates this difficult place for us where it's already hard to have conversation that's nuanced. Now we have misinformation that's being thrown at us to make it even more difficult. And then that information that's passed on, it gets passed on by others, sometimes intentionally, but most of the time unintentionally. And so you can find yourself just surfing the social media sites and coming across headlines, and you're not sure whether or not you can believe them. I mean, we live in this day when it seems like the average headline in reputable news outlets reads more like a National Enquirer sort of article entry. And then you have fake news being passed on along with that. And so it's extremely difficult for us. And I think that's important in light of the passage that we're going to look at this morning, because it raises within us this question: who can I trust? Can I trust testimony from others? I often say that I grew up in the show me state. And so therefore I'm always questioning. And I blame it on that, but really what it is this cultural motif where if I'm going to receive something as true, as fact, then there's this question mark whether or not I can receive that from other people, or do I need firsthand experience with it? Who can I trust? I mean, it seems like this is the posture of our culture, isn't it? We question whether or not we can trust information that's passed to us. And this is important because in the early verses of chapter 2, we have come full circle. We began in chapter 1 by seeing that Jesus is the better and final word. And now we have on the other end of that passage, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, creating this kind of bookend. And the challenge that we have this morning is to receive this testimony about Jesus in such a way that it transforms and changes our lives from the inside out. That this message about Jesus, this exclusively great message about Jesus, is to be one that we pay close attention to, that we become obsessed with, that we work around in our minds, churning on it over and over again, so that we might be changed from the inside out. And yet, I think it's the case that we have this question lurking in the back of our minds. Is this real? Is it true? Or is it fake news? And so this morning, as we look to this passage, as we think on these things, I want us to see that we need to remain anchored to the gospel message. We need to remain anchored to that message about Jesus so that we can have our lives changed and transformed from the inside out. So the thing that we're going to see this morning is that we need to remain anchored to the gospel. That's what I hope that we'll see. But before we kind of get into the details of what that means and what it looks like from our passage this morning, I think it's valuable for us to ask the question, can we believe testimony? Look again at verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared to us first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and miraculous and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Can we believe testimony? I mean, we have this kind of fundamental assumption that receiving knowledge from someone else is to be held skeptically. Like we have this posture, I think, in our culture that the individual is to come to a knowledge and understanding on her own. That it's important for us not merely to receive and accept something from another source, but to find it, to discover it on our own. And really, in many ways, this is just the fundamental posture of the human heart. That we as an autonomous individual are to come to a true knowledge and understanding on our own. We're to look within. We're to discover truth ourselves. That if we discover it on our own, it is more sure and more reliable than receiving it from another person or another source. And yet, I wonder if this is the best picture. Like, I wonder if this is really how we most often come to true belief, most often come to understanding and knowledge. I mean, there's a lot of things that we know, that we believe to be true, that we've received by the testimony of other people. I believe that the earth is round. I believe that it rotates. I believe that it revolves around the sun, and yet I have no personal acquaintance or experience with it. I've never seen that with my own two eyes. I've never been to space. I've never been able to look at the earth and see that it is in fact round. And yet, I believe that is a true belief. And I think most of you would agree, unless you're with Kyrie Irving and think that the earth is flat. But we have these beliefs that we've acquired through the testimony of others, through lectures and textbooks. We've received them from teachers who have shared that information with us, and we've received it as true, as real. In many ways, if we are going to dismiss the testimony of others, we would have to lose large amounts of historical knowledge. None of us have ever lived through those time periods. We only look back through textbooks and through the writings and the reports of other people, through the testimony of others. And yet what we claim is you can have real historical knowledge. that you can know something about the founding of our nation. You can know something about ancient Egypt or the Roman Empire, that you don't have to have been there and experienced it and had a firsthand acquaintance with it in order to claim that you have historical knowledge. You see, there's a great many things that we receive gladly, openly, on the authority of others. And this is why our passage is important. This question relates to our passage because in it we see that the message that we have was first given to us by the testimony of the Lord Jesus himself. And that Jesus gave us this testimony of who he was, and we see what he came to accomplish, and we see him unpacking who our Heavenly Father is and what he's like, and that all comes by way of testimony. And now don't misunderstand, the point isn't that we're just to receive any old message that we get from someone else. Like, there is a responsibility on us to look at the message and to verify if it can indeed be trusted. Like, just because it comes across social media, Twitter or Facebook or wherever else, doesn't mean that you need to retweet it as though it's true and it's real just because it came through your feed. You see, I think the question becomes, what do we make of Jesus? What do we make of him as someone who brings testimony of who God is and what he's like? How can we have this responsibility not just to receive any old message, even if it might be false, and bring it into our belief system? No, we're to have a responsibility on us to know whether or not we should receive that message as authentic. So what do we make of Jesus? I mean, I think the first thing that can be said is if we look at his character, we see someone who is authentic and real, someone whose life matches up with what he says he believes. I mean, when you look at the character of Jesus, I can't help but be confronted with the idea that even though he spoke in lots of ways about the sin of humanity, those who were most acquainted, most aware of their own failings, their own faults, their own sin, wanted to be near him. I mean, I think that tells us something about the character of the man. But not only that, you have his disciples who spend 3 years with Jesus, seeing his life up close and personal. And to a man, when it's all said and done, they are more convinced that he is who he claims, not less. My wife and I have been married for 20 years. And after 20 years, she is more and more sure of my faults, my failings, and my sin. There is no delusion that I'm somehow this perfect person. I mean, you only need to have lived in our house over the last week to know that that is not true. But these men, when they spent that kind of time in close proximity with Jesus, they came away more and more convinced that he was indeed who he claimed to be. But not only that, you have these attesting signs, his healings, but most significantly, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The resurrection, he dies a death in our place, but then 3 days later, he's raised by God from the dead. And in that, it demonstrates that he was indeed who he claimed to be. And so this testimony that comes from Jesus, there's a reason to believe that it's real and that it's true, that it's authentic, that he does indeed show us who God is and what he's like. And so maybe you're with us this morning and you're not sure what to make of Jesus still. Like, you're not yet sure that you can trust his testimony. You're not sure. You don't exactly know who he is. You haven't looked at his character up close and personal. You've not considered the things that he said and the things that he did. That's why we are hosting the Alpha Course. It's going to be an awesome opportunity in a safe place to consider the claims of Jesus, to look Jesus in the eye and to see if he is indeed who he claims to be, to spend a concerted amount of time, not just hearing ideas about Jesus, but looking at him for yourself in a safe environment. We've always said that the church should be the safest place on the planet to explore the things that matter most. And so this is a time for you to be able to bring your doubts, your questions, and even your objections to a safe environment so that you might be able to explore the claims of Jesus for yourself. We need to remain anchored to the gospel. That's what this passage is trying to help us understand. I mean, that's where it begins in verse 1. We see this danger that comes in drifting away from this message. In verse 1, to read it once more, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how much more, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? You see, the writer is trying to help us see the grave danger that comes from drifting. And he uses this argument from the lesser to the greater. And he says, remember all those things that we talked about concerning the Old Testament, the way that God used mediators to speak through the prophets, through Moses, through the law, and through the covenants. Well, that was a serious matter. And those who disobeyed, those who drifted from that message, there were grave consequences. Well, if it's true for that lesser word, what about if we neglect the final and better word of Jesus? How much more serious will that be? He's giving us this true warning that there's a need for us to pay close attention to Jesus and the message about him. This is a real and true warning that's given. Like all throughout the scriptures, the picture is that when you have placed your faith and trust in Christ, when you've truly given yourself to him, there will be a perseverance to the end. That you will follow him, you will love him, you will obey him, you will live for him over the course of your life. Yes, there will be ups and downs and there will be hiccups along the way, for sure. But when it's all said and done, you'll look back over your life and you'll be able to see a consistent obedience and following after Jesus. Well, what he's trying to help us see is that it's possible to think that you're a follower of Jesus and actually not be one. That it's possible to think that you're a Christian, to do the religious things, to go to church, to be around God's people, to be a part of Bible studies, to be around service and doing good in the community, that it's possible to do those things and yet to be mistaken that you're not actually following Jesus. That there is this need for us to have a growing devotion in our lives. This need for us to pay closer and closer attention to Jesus and this message about Jesus, because drifting never occurs actively. I mean, that's the point he's trying to make here. No one in their mind says, you know what? I think I'm going to chart a course that I might drift away from Jesus and the message about him. No, drifting is always unintentional. It always comes through a carelessness. It comes in the picture he has here is a ship that's lost its anchor, that's just drifting on the currents, drifting on the currents of culture, drifting on the currents of desire and pleasure, drifting on the currents, not intentionally sailing away from Jesus and the message about him, but simply through inattention and carelessness, drifting. Drifting can occur as we become so familiar with Jesus, so familiar with the things of God, so familiar with the message about Jesus that we can think of it as commonplace. We can lose sight of the majesty of who he is. We can lose sight of the significance and the depth of this message of the gospel. We can lose sight of the life-transforming power that comes by this message because we become so familiar that we think, I've got that one nailed down. Now it's time to move on to other things. Now it's time to move on to other ideas. We can even be distracted by other things around us. In a time like this, it can be easy for us to get caught up in, to be distracted by, drawn away by thoughts of our financial futures, wondering whether our retirement is going to make it. Like we can be so caught up with the circumstance that we find ourselves in that we can be drawn away, that we can drift unintentionally away from Jesus and the message about him. We can get caught up in the busyness of life. We can become so busy, so overburdened in our calendar that it's easy for us to drift away. As I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think of the myriad of young parents who are in our congregations. That it is easy for us to become so busy, so overburdened with our calendars to drift away. In some ways, I'm told that there's this problem of the frog in the kettle. And the idea is, and again, I've only received this through the testimony of others. I've not tried this, so don't go calling anyone on me. But the idea is, if you have a boiling cauldron of water and you put a frog in it, they will immediately try to get out. They want nothing to do with that hot boiling water. But if you put a frog in a cool cauldron of water, and you slowly bring it up to temperature, the frog will never escape, will never remove, and will ultimately be boiled to death. So it can happen for the busy family. Like if you move into your kids' formative years without a plan of how you're going to navigate all the extracurriculars, if you move into those formative years and you've not thought through what you're going to do about the burden and the draw towards competitive athletics, what you will find, because we've seen it time and again, is that it's easy to drift away from the things that matter most. If we don't plan, if we're not intentional, we don't deliberately plan to leave God and his people, it just naturally happens as we drift away by the current of busyness. And so too, how could our current circumstance be the breeding ground for drifting away from Jesus and this message about him? It would be far too easy during this time to just kind of fade out. I mean, who's going to know? Who's going to see? I'm not around people. I'm not involved in serving in the same kind of way that I once was. It'd be real easy to just kind of float away from King Jesus and this message about him. I mean, right now, the work that I can participate in primarily is the unseen work of the soul. That's a work that no one sees. No one inspects. And so it'd be easy for us during this time to neglect those unseen things and to find ourselves drifting away. We begin asking these questions, like, is this all there is to the Christian life? I mean, is this all that it is? We start believing those kinds of lying questions. And we find ourselves drifting away, slowly yet surely. See, the writer to the Hebrews wants us to remember we need to remain anchored to the gospel. You see, it's that message about Jesus, that message of the gospel that is the power to change your life. Look again at verse 3. And it was declared first by the Lord and was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. He says, we need to pay close attention to this message that was first given to us by the Lord Jesus, was then passed on to the apostles who wrote the New Testament, and then was given to us. And if you've placed faith and trust in Jesus, then the invitation is to pay close attention to him. To never move on from him and this message about him. That there's nothing better or more significant than the gospel message about Jesus that we're to move on to. It isn't that the gospel message, what God has done for you in and through Christ, are the ABCs of the Christian life, but rather they are the A to Z of the Christian life. That the gospel message about Jesus is this all-encompassing reality that's to change us and shape us from the inside out. We're not to move on to other things. We're not to drift away chasing after some other reality that we think will fulfill and sustain us. No. We're to remember, pay close attention to this message about Jesus so that we don't drift away. And it's this message about Jesus and what God has done in and through Christ that will change your life from the inside out. Remember, this is a message that Jesus himself gave to us. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen that Jesus is no mere prophet. He's not just another messenger in a long line of messengers. I've been watching the little miniseries Waco, and I was really had my mind blown when I discovered that Tim Riggins is David Koresh. I mean, that totally threw me off. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Well, it didn't quite go that way for them in Waco. I don't want to ruin the ending if you don't know how it concludes. But the reality is this: Jesus isn't just another messenger in a long line of messengers. Jesus is the better and final word. Jesus is the one who is exclusively great. There is none better than him. In Jesus, God came near. You see, the reality of the message about Jesus is that we have been saved by God's grace, not our performance. You see, that's part of the problem, isn't it? We think that there's something we need to do to earn the approval and the favor of others. We need to figure it out. We need to find a way. We need to find our way back to God, we think religiously. And yet, it isn't by your performance, it's by Jesus' work in your place on the cross. And until and unless we come to the place of embracing the grace of God that's lavished on us in Jesus, we will be destroyed trying to live out of our own performance. You'll be destroyed because some of you are going to do a really good job at being very good and very moral. And it's going to destroy you because you're going to end up looking down on others, end up proud, end up having this sense and air of superiority. Because again, look at what you've accomplished. Look at how good you are. You don't do the things that other people do. Or it will destroy you because you're going to fail to live up to those standards. And when you're unable to meet the standards, you're going to find yourself crushed under the weight of your lack of performance. And so each and every one of us needs to have a change of heart, a change of life. And that comes not by trying to earn your way into God's favor. That comes by receiving Jesus as a gift of God's grace for you. And that's the invitation this morning. Like, if you haven't given yourself over to Jesus, then the invitation this morning is to give your life to him, to trust him, to turn away from trying to come to conclusions and answers on your own. Like, stop trying to perform your way into his kingdom. Like, stop living for yourself and begin living for him, trusting your heart and your life to him. And as you give yourself over to Jesus, if you've embraced him by faith, and the invitation is to continue to think on Jesus and this message about him. One author has said that the gospel is like this multifaceted gem. And we're to mull over the gospel message as we turn that gem, as it refracts light uniquely at every turn of the gem. We're never to move on from it. We're never to move away from it. We're never to look for something better or more or greater than this message of who Jesus is and what he came to accomplish on our behalf, that we could have our lives changed from the inside out. We're never to stop thinking about King Jesus. We need to remain anchored to the gospel. And so if you've given your life to Jesus, how do we walk forward making the most of our quarantine? Like, how do we make the most of this time? Like, it's real easy to become discouraged and even frustrated by current circumstance. But what might be some things that we could do so that we don't look away from the gospel message about Jesus, so that we don't drift unintentionally away from it? The first place that we must begin is examining our own hearts. Like, if we take stock of what's happening deep within us, are you drifting? Like, have you found yourself unintentionally just floating away from King Jesus? Examine your heart. Like, as you think about this week, and you think about the structure of your week and how you're going to walk through this week, what are you doing to intentionally focus your attention on King Jesus and the message about him? How are you going to invest in that unseen work this week? The unseen work of the soul, spending time with King Jesus in his word, talking with him by prayer, thinking on, churning over, meditating on his word, that we might be changed and transformed from the inside out. What is your plan for the week ahead that you might invest in such a way that you are remembering, thinking on, remaining tethered and anchored to the message about Jesus? And as we do that, we need to focus our attention and our gaze on him. And again, I want to encourage you to consider Alpha. If you're still trying to make sense of who Jesus is, that is a tremendous environment and would be a great opportunity for you to take part in. Those of us who know Jesus, what is it going to look like for us to remain close to him, to pay close attention to him? And then finally, to make the most of this quarantine time, I couldn't help but see the way that the author ends this passage. And by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. You see, the Spirit of God equips believers within his church with certain gifts and abilities. I mean, there are even talents and natural skill that you have. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Spirit of God gives these gifts not for yourself, but for the common good. That the Spirit of God gives gifts to his people so that we might serve one another. We might care for one another. We might love one another. And it's this love for one another that Francis Schaeffer described as the final apologetic. Like, if people are going to receive the testimony that you give them about Jesus, it will be received and believed and trusted in as they see your love for one another. That there would be this care and this concern and this love for one another during this time that would show our commitment to King Jesus. Like, we are living in the midst of a less than ideal time. There is no doubt about that. But there are still ways and opportunities for us to care for one another, to show love and genuine concern for one another. And as we do that, might it be that God uses our life together to point beyond us to what he's done for us in Jesus? So how can we connect? What's it going to look like to invest in others around you this week? At the end of the day, we need to remain anchored to the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you have so graciously and faithfully given it to us, that you have given us your final and better word in Jesus. So help us, those who are following after him, help us to pay close attention to Jesus and the message about him, that we might have our lives changed and transformed from the inside out. And we pray this by his precious name. Amen.
We sang this song together for the first time last week, Christ, our hope in life and death. And as we just heard, we want to focus on Jesus Christ. So would you sing with us?